I want to talk to you this morning about carrying the presence of the Lord. I've got just a few moments, so we'll share. And up there in the top, I'm going to start with Exodus chapter 25, verse 8. Then we'll go down to number 14. So we're going to skip some spaces this morning. I want to talk to you the seriousness about carrying the presence of the Lord. It seems like to me the entire Bible, beginning the book of Genesis all the way to the book of Revelations, is about us being carriers of the presence of God. Being able to carry and bring God's throne into situations. And that's what it was in the Old Testament, in the book of Exodus, when God gave the instruction to Moses how to build what we call the Ark of the Covenant, and how it was to be built. It was overlaid with solid gold, and it was carried with staves of gold that was through it, and it was to lead the way everywhere they went. It would lead them into battle. It would lead them into wherever they were going through the wilderness time experiences. And all of it, God was saying, is you must carry the throne of God with you. Because that's what the Ark of Covenant was. It was a throne. It was a box of failures covered with what the Bible calls a lid, called the mercy seat, or the mercy that comes down over our failures. And it's called a seat because a king comes and sits on the throne. And the Bible says, God said, that I will come enthroned over that mercy seat. God wants to have dominion in every situation we face. But the truth of the matter is, the responsibility of getting the presence of God into each of our circumstances is us. Now, the throne, which was the Ark of the Covenant, what it was a earth rendering of the heavenly throne. It was a earth's reenactment of what the throne was in heaven. But God honored it, and the presence of God would come. Now, even though it was a supernatural God that would come and meet with his children and would win great victories for them, it didn't move supernaturally. It was moved into the places by the responsibility. It was given physical feet. It was carried by four priests, Levites. And they were to carry the presence of God, the God of the supernatural. They would carry the throne, and then God would come and meet with them over whatever was going on in their life. God would meet with them. And then a throne is not only a place that you worship. A throne is a place that is government, is established. Rules are made. Declarations. Dominion comes out of. So God gave the instructions, let my throne lead you into battle, and I'll come and win that battle. It was so supernatural that the Bible says that God, the supernatural God, coming and meeting on the throne, over the throne, that their shoes didn't even wear out. Miraculous provision. It was also miraculous health. As long as God's presence was coming and meeting on the throne, there was no sickness involved. So it was a supernatural move, and they were led by the Spirit and given this great inheritance. But it was physical feet that did it, you know, that carried it in there. It was a supernatural. So there's a sense of responsibility that each one of us have if we're going to get the presence of God into our situation. And there's a call going out. The Bible says there's many that are called, but there's a few that answer that call. That's the way it always is. There's a call that's going out, and it's asking people to establish a throne for God to come in and have dominion into every family, into every household. There's a call to going out that not only does God want you to establish His dominion in a house, in a home, God wants to establish, and then there are those that's going to hear that call, and there will answer, and many call, few chosen, but there will be a few that will say, yes, we're going to establish our home as a throne for God to come and for God to reign.
Amen.
Our life. And then some will hear it another measure, and they'll say, not only do I want my throne, I'm going to be a part of making sure the responsibility of carrying the Ark of the Presence in. I'm going to be sure that our church is a place where the presence of God is. And then there's some that will hear even another level of calling, and they will hear God say, I need men and women that will carry my presence into this city. And then there was others that would hear another level of that call. And that call would say, I need men and women that would literally care, shoulder it on you. Shoulder it on you. Put legs, be the legs, be the strength for a supernatural God to come into a nation. And eventually into a world. We've got a call. And I know, as according to the Word of God, there would be a few people, or everybody will want to, but there will be a few people that will shoulder the responsibility in their life of realizing, if I'm going to have God in my situation, I must be willing to get underneath His shoulder. And the miraculous thing about it is there is no islands, because it took four to carry the presence of God in the way of dominion. Not the presence of God as far as the presence we'll talk about in a few moments, but as far as dominion. Some of you've got enough of Jesus to go to heaven with. But this life is going to be pretty miserable. You just got to know, though, you shoulder the responsibility of the degree of the presence of God that each of you have. Some of you have the presence of the Lord to the level to be able to find a place of happiness and joy. But some of you live in frustration and discouragement all the time. Because to get the presence of God there, it takes somebody that said, I will shoulder this responsibility. And I will learn to walk together with other people. I will learn that. Some of you got your ark and you're just trying to get it in there like this, you know. God says, I won't go like that. In fact, there's sure death, the Bible says, to anyone that tries to carry the ark disorderly. Be careful with disorder. Be careful with disorder. Because sure death comes, it came immediately when someone tried to stabilize the ark other than the prescribed manner in which God told it to be done. The enemy comes in a lot of ways. He will try to make you feel that you have the right, or there's a sense of right. You have to be very careful when you talk about the presence of God. Because if you try to stabilize it through any other way than what God intended, four poles, shoulders of dedicated, consecrated people, if you try to do it in any other way, the Bible says it doesn't bring life to you. It brings death to you. So I just want to be in that. And it says in Exodus chapter 25, verse 8, it says, this is God's heart. He says, then have them make a holy place for me, and I will live among them. That's what God's call all through the Bible, Genesis through Revelation. God says, if you will make a place for me, I'll come and live. Now that word live, you probably need to circle that a little bit, because that's a There's two major words when we talk about the presence of God coming. One is, it means God's presence comes and visits. And that's what most people have, the presence of God. You get into a real area of difficulty, and we get into those real areas of situation. We cry out to God, and God visits us. He'll come in and visit us. But that's not what he's talking about. That's not his desire, and that's not his heart. Let me tell you what. It's always hard to prepare for the battle in the midst of the battle. You got to know that. The Holy Spirit is calling you ahead of the battle, so you will be prepared and you will win that battle. Amen. It's hard to go to boot camp in the middle of Iraq. It's hard. You understand? God always prepares you. The Holy Spirit is always leading you and drawing you and preparing you. And you don't understand, but you got to trust. Somebody shout trust. You got to trust God in the leadership that God is bringing into your life. That God is, there is a reason that God has put you in this direction. There is a reason that the Holy Spirit is convicting you over that. There is a reason that the Holy Spirit is urging you over that. There's a reason that the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit is always preparing you, not just for today, but he's always preparing you for the next battle ahead. Amen. And you can trust him, because he doesn't just see today. He sees next week, and he even sees next year. He knows what evil will knock on your door. And you can trust him that when he's putting in you an urgency for him, a draw to him, a pulling away from others, a pull toward him, you can trust God. Even though you might have to fight loneliness, even though you might have to fight some insecurity, you can trust God that God is preparing you for whatever is coming. So whatever is coming, you will win for the glory of God. Amen. And the dominion, everybody say the dominion. That's what the throne, that's why we want to get God's presence, the throne there. So God will be there and have dominion. That means dominate. God will dominate the situation. To where if it's sickness, God will be able to dominate the sickness with health. If it's poverty, where God will be able to dominate it with his provision. If it's in a place of turmoil, where God will be able to dominate, because see, his rule comes out of his throne. And so is to have the throne of God. Amen. Now, let me skip quite a ways here. All right. In Hebrews, New Testament says it like this. It says, therefore come boldly. See, God knows that we must have a throne in every situation. There must be a throne, there must be a worship of God, and there must be a declaration of power into every situation. When you come to a place to where you think you can handle it, honey, please don't stand by me. You understand? Because you can't handle it. You may be handling what's going on today, but you won't be able to handle what's going to go on tomorrow in your life. Amen. Let me skip. All right. Exodus chapter 25, verse 22 again said, I will meet with you there. And I will meet with you from above the mercy seat. That's the place God always meets us. He meets us above the mercy. Now, if you're still held in to the sins of your past, or if you're still riding guilt over what you did, honey, there's got to be a day you put that in the box and you let God's blood cover it. You got to. You're a danger to yourself, and you're a danger to those around you walking around guilty. You've got to realize God only comes when the mercy, God comes in this degree of power, in this degree of glory, when mercy has been able to be applied over your failure. I say again, the box holds the failure. But the mercy seat that comes down over the box, the Bible calls it a mercy seat. It's a covering of mercy that has a seat on it, because a king sits on a throne. And so God comes and he sits on the throne to rule that situation. All right, then notice what it says in 1 Chronicles chapter 15, verse 2. It said, then he commanded no one except the Levites. Y'all found that verse for me up there? I'm about on slide 14, 15. Okay. All right, then he commanded no one except the Levites may carry the ark. You understand what it says? Nobody will. Somebody hops up and said, well, I'm a New Testament believer. You didn't read the last word. The last word means, said forever. And when God writes forever, I wonder what God means. Forever. God said, no one can carry the ark of his presence except the people that are chosen. Remember, many are called, but what? Few are chosen. Those that hear the heart of God. The Lord has chosen them to carry it. God chose it. Now, let me say again, disorder brings death. If you try to touch the ark, if you try to touch the presence of God, you've got to do it the way God has prescribed, and then it's always life. It says, the Lord has chosen them to carry the ark of the Lord and to serve him forever. Now, there is a difference between Old Testament and New Testament. And you know what the difference is? Somebody say the blood. In the Old Testament, it was physical blood. In the Old Testament, you were a Levite by physical lineage. Also, these other spiritual qualities had to be there. But in the New Testament, we've gained a new family. There's a new blood. And Emmanuel's blood flows through all of our veins. Can you say amen? And we're in the royal priesthood family of God. Hallelujah. Amen. Because that new blood, so now we're in that, we're in the royal, the Bible says, the New Testament said, we're living in that new place. Now, and the Lord set apart the tribe of Levi to carry the ark of the presence and to stand before the Lord as his ministers and to pronounce blessing. That's the three things God told us to do in front of his throne. Now, people's talking about walking out in power, walking out with the word of the Lord. Ministry to people is always third. Always third. People walk up to me all the time. They say, I'm called to be a minister. And they immediately want to tell me that they have the preaching gift, the teaching gift, the singing gift. And I want you to know, that's the third level of ministry. And without the other two prerequisites, you're never going to fulfill that third level right. Because many are called, but what? A few are chosen. The first level of ministry is for me to be in the family. I must have the presence of God. There are certain qualifications and certain demonstration of family traits that have to take place. And we'll talk about those at a later time. All right, then the second thing is, I must be willing to stand before the Lord and minister to Him first. If I haven't ministered to the Lord first, I have no place trying to minister to you. Did you know you can buy sermons online today? Do you know that? Did you know I can go and buy a book of messages? But do you know the way God intends for His presence to move with? That in the ministry, time to God, which is first, foremost, before ministry to people, as we minister to God, we hear God say things. And notice the third level of ministry here. You turn and bless others with what God has whispered into your heart in those secret places. And that's what the Bible calls ministry. To people. The first level is ministering to the Lord. Ministry to the Lord, with this word ministry, it has two different branches of it. The first level, George, you were so on key. Last year when the deacons and I, we went to hear from the Lord. And each one of them had opportunity, and George, you were so on key. George said, he said, Jerry, God is saying this to us. God is saying this to us every day of our life. In fact, that word minister, when the Bible says that the first thing that a Levite must be willing to do is shoulder the responsibility of carrying the ark, the second thing he must be willing to do is minister to the Lord. If it's going to be the true presence of God, I must be willing first to minister to the Lord. And the first level of that ministry, this word ministry has two different branches. Really, there's two different words for the word minister that are both applied to priests that stand before his throne. One level means this. It means each day of my life, I will kneel. Everybody say kneel. I will kneel before the Lord, surrendering to him, and I will worship God. That's what it means. That every day of my life as I serve as his royal priesthood, that I will kneel before his presence and I will surrender my all to him. That second word, minister, is found in the book of Psalms when it talks about the ministers that stand by night ministering to the house of the Lord. It's the word wait. It's the word, the second way you minister to the Lord is you wait on God. And oh, we all have these 5-minute devotional Bibles. 3-minute on your way to work. And those are all good. But if you're going to carry the presence of God, you're going to have to give God an opportunity in your life to where you're just going to wait on him. There have to be those moments. There have to be that time. What that says in the book of Psalms, it says, I through the night. There has to be that in your life that you say, God, I don't know anything, about anybody. So I'm just going to wait on you. Amen. I'm going to wait on you to talk to me. I'm going to wait on you to direct me. I'm going to wait on you to tell me what I need to think. I don't know anything, God. I'm going to wait on you. And that's one of the hardest things you will ever do. Because to sit in the presence of God and not fill it full of dialogue is hard. To sit in the presence of God and have an agenda, that's why many are called, but few are chosen. See? To sit in the presence of God, not have a dialogue, to sit in the presence of God and not fill the space. The New Testament calls it, Matthew chapter 5, those that hunger and thirst after righteousness, something happens. Something happens. Those that hunger for God, something happens. There, in fact, the Bible relates it to a marriage. The reason marriage is, if your marriage is having problems, I'll tell you what it is. See, because I work out my marriage so well. No, it's the very same thing exists with us. When I don't give Elaine proper time in my life, we're going to have problems. I'm not going to understand her. I'm going to begin to tell you what I think she means. I'm going to begin to speak for her in ways that I won't be right. If I'm, that's why God relates his relationship with him as with a marriage, because in a marriage, the most valuable thing that you give your mate is time with him. And not filling it with answers, but hearing their heart. So that what's in their heart, which God's intention is to become one, what God's intention is that me, I'm not complete in myself. Lane's not complete in herself. We're not complete until I hear her heart and she hears my heart. And I want to tell you that takes time. If you're married to a woman, you plan at least 15 hours. But But no, I'm just joking. But time must be given. That's why God said, that's the relationship with me. God says, if you don't know me, because you're not listening to my heart. You're assuming. One of the greatest sins of a priest is assuming. You will never have the presence of God with assuming. I just assume that's okay. I just assume this is the right way. You can ask Saul about that assuming. He assumed God would be with me if I wait on the priest or not. When it comes to the presence of God, the power of God, it is so wonderful. It is so powerful. God has given us direct steps and paths for us to move into the presence of God. So the two things, when God calls you to minister to Him, all what the Holy Spirit is, that is, I kneel, and what that means is what I think about you, I surrender that. What I think about anything else, I kneel. That means I become helpless in myself. I minister to God. God sees that as ministry. God calls that ministry to Him. The odd thing about it, most time when we're talking about ministering to the Lord, what we're talking about is ministering for the Lord. We're assuming, although God is into helping people, God is in first of me being drawn to Him. Jesus died and came so far to get me close to Him. And God told me that if I would draw near, He would respond. So if the second thing the priest is to do is to minister to the Lord. David would call a man after God's own heart, because David never let God be lonely. He assigned 4,000 people. One place, I think it was 32,000 people that stood before God night and day. Most time what we call ministry to the Lord, we're ministering to people in one way or the other. But David didn't. He knew. He would never let his God be lonely again. So day in and day out, 365 days a year, David had somebody singing to the Lord. Somebody playing to the Lord. Somebody telling how much they love God. Because when you satisfy the heart of God, God will turn and satisfy your heart. Amen. So, ministering to the Lord is two things. Number one is bowing a knee. It means bowing a knee and surrendering to the Lord. That's why surrender. I tell our praise leaders here, make surrender a part of every service. We haven't ministered to the Lord till we surrender. We may have ministered to people. We may have told people a lot of good things, but we haven't ministered to the Lord till we surrender. And then the second thing is, make time for God. Make time to just wait. Not to tell Him anything. Not to fill it up with time and your thoughts and what you need. But to listen to Him. To just wait.